Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, August the 5th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come to you today grateful for all that you do for us. The times that you have pointed out the way that we should walk and the things that are occurring around us, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us the strength that is so necessary so that our lives might be rooted and grounded in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, with all of the discussion on the 2020 election and the number of mail-in votes that there are, I'd like to share an article with you today that was published on June the 20th, 2020. It's found in the Atlantic website. And the writer of the article is David Frum. David Frum is a staff writer of the Atlantic. And of course, he's written quite a number of books. He was also a speechwriter for President George W. Bush. As I said before, the article is found in the Atlantic website, published on June the 20th, 2020. The writer of the article is David Frum, F-R-U-M. And the title of the article is Trump's Three-Point Plan to Win in 2020. The title again? Trump's Three-Point Plan to Win in 2020. And then there's a subtext to that title. It says, he will attack the independence and integrity of the legal system, try to benefit from foreign help, and benefit from voting obstructions, obstacles. The title again, Trump's Three-Point Plan to Win in 2020, found in the Atlantic website, published on June the 20th, 2020, and written by David Frum, who was a speechwriter for President George W. Bush. Here's the article. The polls for Donald Trump are grim, but if voter preference decided U.S. elections, Hillary Clinton would have won the presidency by almost 3 million ballots. Presidential elections can be gamed. And late yesterday night, events came together to reveal how the Trump administration hopes to game 2020. Attorney General William Barr announced the resignation of U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Jeffrey Berman, who had prosecuted Trump's associates and brought to light much of Trump's wrongdoings, including important elements of the quid pro quo scheme with the Ukrainian state that got Trump impeached in 2019. That same Friday, BuzzFeed won a Freedom of Information lawsuit to obtain redacted portions of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. Mueller's report had concluded beginning in June 2016, former campaign member Roger Stone forecast to senior campaign officials that WikiLeaks would release information damaging to candidate Clinton. But the details supporting that charge were suppressed. Now we have them, and it looks as though Trump personally directed his campaign chair, Paul Manafort, to keep in touch with Stone for advanced details of WikiLeaks. Finally, also yesterday, the Washington Post reported that fewer than 200 polling places will be opened for the Kentucky primary on June the 23rd, rather than the usual 3,700. Kentucky's vote-by-mail system is breaking down under the weight of requests for advanced ballots. The impending chaos will bear especially heavily on Kentucky's African-American voters. Voters in Louisville, a 20% black county, will all have to vote at one polling station, the city's convention center, likely to face crushing long lines. The primary is not a formality. Kentucky Democrats face a contentious Senate choice. Louisville is a city where police killed Breonna Taylor. Anger about that shooting has propelled the rise of competitor to Amy McGrath and candidate favored by National Democrats. If McGrath, who is white, defeats State Representative Charles Booker, who is black, in a primary marred by obstacles to black voting, that could well splinter Kentucky Democrats, demobilize the state's black vote in November, and assure the easy re-election of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Here are the three developments that the Trump administration says they are going to use. Number one, attack the independence and integrity of the legal system. Number two, benefit from foreign help and trust that by the time the help is proved, it will be stale news of scant interest to anybody. And number three, benefit from voting obstacles, particularly those that will impede black voting, and super particularly those that will wedge apart the Democratic coalition on racial lines. The Trump campaign is crude in its methods. It's oafish to claim, as Barr did, that somebody resigned without getting the resignation first. Trump has used more subtle means in the past. He apparently regarded the U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C., Jesse Liu, as insufficiently obedient to his demands for a prosecution of former FBI acting director Andrew McCabe. Trump got rid of her by announcing her promotion to a big job at the Treasury Department. Once Liu resigned her U.S. attorney post, Trump then withdrew her nomination to the Treasury job. Admittedly, that trick can be used only so many times before its targets get wise. Liu was replaced by Tim Scheer, a close advisor to Barr. Still, oafs can get the job done. Barr has made it his personal mission to protect Trump cronies on the wrong side of the law and to thwart officials investigating those cronies. For instance, Roger Stone. Stone was convicted on charges of obstruction of an official investigation, false statements, and without witness tampering. He was proved to have repeatedly lied under oath. All four prosecutors in the case signed a memo recommending a sentence of 7 to 9 years based squarely on federal sentencing guidelines. Then Trump erupted in a Twitter tirade against the recommendation, and Barr intervened to override his professionals and recommend a lesser sentence. In an interview with ABC, Barr complained that Trump's tweets got in the way of Barr doing his job, yet in the end, Stone was sentenced to only 40 months, less than half the original prosecution request. Michael Flynn next. Flynn pleaded guilty twice to lying to federal investigators. Again, Barr intervened in the case, this time via his ally, that acting U.S. attorney for Washington, D.C., who had been replaced, and he noticed. Barr and Scheer sought to withdraw the prosecution from Flynn altogether, despite his guilty pleas. Of course, so startling that the judge in the case sought outside guidance from another retired federal judge, John Gleason. Gleason, in a written report, blasted the Barr-Scheer actions as gross abuse of prosecutorial power. He dismissed the justifications for the last-minute charge, of course, as obviously pretextual to disguise the truth that the decision to dismiss that is based solely on the fact that Flynn is a political ally of President Trump. We don't yet know exactly what Trump's scandal is sought to be concealed by the dismissal of Berman, the U.S. Attorney of the Southern District of New York. But I'm sure that as the years go by, we will find out. In his memoir, John Bolton claims that Trump promised Turkish President Erdogan that he would halt a Berman investigation of a state-owned Turkish bank. But really, Trump may be seeking to cover up any number of scandals. It could be any number of them, or all of them, or some of them, as yet undisclosed scandals altogether. As the BuzzFeed discovery underscores, Trump largely got away with welcoming Russian aid in 2016. To what extent his campaign was in direct communication with Russians remains uncertain, But we do know of the June 16, 2016 meeting with Russian agents at Trump Tower in New York. We know, too, that Manafort shared preparatory campaign information with Russian business associates. Meanwhile, in the District of Columbia, we can already smell the thick stink of scandal from Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin's attempt to conceal the recipients of aid paid from the Emergency Pandemic Relief Fund, possibly including Trump's own companies. If Trump loses the election in November, he faces terrible legal exposure and financial trouble. Trump must win to survive. And in the face of low approval and high unemployment, he is unlikely to win if the vote is fair. The impending chaos in Kentucky, following the chaos in Georgia early in June, shows the way to skew the vote in, as is coming in November. In Georgia, the lines were longest in heavily black areas near Atlanta. In an election suddenly dependent on mail-in voting, the once obscured question of postage on absentee ballots suddenly matters a great deal. Military ballots can be mailed postage-free. Ballots are postage-free in 16 of the 50 states, especially heavily white states, including Idaho, Kansas, Minnesota, Oregon, and Washington. But Georgia and other southern states require voters to affix postage, which has historically discouraged take-up of the right to vote absentee. Of the 2020 swing states, only two, Arizona and Wisconsin, offer postage-free voting. Trump in 2019 sought to extort election help from Ukraine. Bolton's new book confirms Trump's televised statements that he has sought election help from Chinese President Xi Jinping. It worked last time at a manageable political price to Trump. Why wouldn't he try it again? In every respect, the Trump plan for 2020 is shaping up to be an election outside anything in modern American experience. Trump's only hope is to manipulate, distort, and suppress. He is acting now to realize that hope. Be warned and be prepared. And that's the article found in the Atlantic website, published on June the 20th, 2020. The writer of that article is David Frum. And the title of the article is Trump's Three-Point Plan to Win in 2020. That's Trump's Three-Point Plan to Win in 2020. As I said before, David Frum, the writer of that article, was a speechwriter for President George W. Bush. This is not an outsider writing. This is a Republican writing. All right, the next article I'd like to share with you today is found in the New Yorker website. And this goes back a little further. It is published back on September the 6th, 2019. That's September the 6th, 2019. The writer of that article is David Daley. D-A-L-E-Y. Let me give you the website again, the New Yorker website. And the title of the article is The Secret Files of the Master of Modern Republican Gerrymandering. The title again, The Secret Files of the Master of Modern Republican Gerrymandering. Here's the article. Thomas Hofeller, that's spelled H-O-F-E-L-L-E-R, preached secrecy as he remapped American politics from the shadows. The Republican Party operative, known as the master of the modern gerrymander, trained other GOP operatives and legislatures nationwide to secure their computer networks, guard access to their maps, and never send emails that they didn't want to see published by the news media. In training sessions for state legislators and junior line drawers, he used a PowerPoint presentation that urged them to avoid recklessness and always be discreet, and warned that emails are the tool of the devil. Hoffler did not follow his own advice. Before his death in August 2018, he saved at least 70,000 files and several years of emails. A review of those records and emails, which were recently obtained first by the New Yorker, raised new questions about whether Hoffler unconstitutionally used race data to draw new North Carolina's congressional districts in 2016. They also suggest that Hoffler was deeply involved in GOP map-making nationwide and include new trails for more potential lawsuits challenging Hoffler's work, similar to the one on Wednesday, which led to the overturning of a state legislative maps in North Carolina. Now, of course, you know gerrymandering means that you change the districts so that you can bring your district together with all of the people that you think are going to vote for you. But of course, they're saying that his records show that he's been using race over the years to accomplish this. Continuing. Hoffler's files include dozens of intensely detailed studies of North Carolina's college students, broken down by race and cross-referenced against the state driver's license files to determine whether these students likely possessed the proper ID to vote. The studies are dated 2014-2015, the years before Hoffler helped Republicans in the state withdraw its congressional districts in ways that voting rights groups said discriminated on the basis of race. North Carolina Republicans said that the maps discriminated based on partnership but not race. Hoffler's hard drive also retained a map of North Carolina's 2017 state judicial gerrymander with an overlay of the black voting age population by district, suggesting that these maps, which are currently at the center of a protracted legal battle, might also be a racial gerrymander. Other profiles provide new details about Hoffler's work for Republicans across the country. Hoffler collected data on the citizens' voting age and population in North Carolina, Texas, and Arizona, among other states, as far back as 2011. Hoffler was part of a Republican effort to add a citizenship question to the census, which would have allowed political parties to obtain more precise citizenship data ahead of the 2020 redistricting cycle. State legislative lines could then have been drawn based on the number of citizen voters, which Hoffler believed would make it easier to pack Democrats and minorities into fewer districts, giving an advantage to Republicans. Other documents show that Hoffler was hired by a Massachusetts Republican who sought to use the Voting Rights Act provision for majority-minority seats to draw a single district containing all of Boston so that Republicans could make inroads into an otherwise entirely Democratic congressional delegation. Hoffler drew several sets of maps, but the effort went nowhere. Additional files document his work in Mississippi, Alabama, and Virginia, among other states. Emails also connect Hoffler to redistricting efforts in Florida. Top Republican officials in the state have denied that they played any official role in drawing the state's legislative and congressional districts in 2011. A 2010 state constitutional amendment barred partisan gerrymandering in Florida. Emails show that Hoffler communicated with and visited top GOP political operatives in Florida in 2011. The operatives helped organize or draw state legislative and congressional maps that matched the districts that were later enacted. The operatives insisted at a trial that drawing the maps were only a hobby. A Florida judge found that argument unconvincing. Concluding that the GOP conducted a stealth redistricting operation that struck partisan maps into the public process and made a mockery of the state's constitutional amendments. Now that gives you a picture. And of course, that's just part of the article. I sincerely hope that you'll take a look at it and read the whole thing. But this man, Hoffler, he's helped them to redirect and redraw the maps so that the living locations of minorities would be excised from some of the districts that they wanted to maintain so that the Republicans would be able to control the states. Now, it's interesting to see what would happen, what is going to happen in 2020. And to tell you the honest truth, I'm looking forward to it with much anticipation. But I want you to know that regardless of what happens then, we have been warned about all this in advance. God has told us that this nation will no longer speak as a Republican nation or a Protestant nation, but will begin to speak as a dragon. And this dragon speech will not only be external, but it will also be internal. Today, you and I have been called by God to be ready for what is coming. And as I say so often, and I hope I will continue to say on every program, Matthew 24 describes this as the beginning of sorrows. The sorrows will continue. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn us, that you have told us in advance of all that will occur. We ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary to stand with you and for you, and that our lives will reflect you in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, August the 5th, 2020.